Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
I want to show you according to the word, just very simply, how God wants you to recover anything that you've lost. I've told you the story. I went out of Wilford Hall one time to visit somebody, and I went by the bank, and I put 11 $100 bills in my coat pocket. And then I took it off when I got in the car, put it back on when I got out to Wilford Hall. And when I got to where I was going, that $1,100 had fallen out. Now, $1,100 to me is a big deal. 11 $100 bills. And so that was on a Friday. I was having a horse sale about 60 miles from that place. Wilford Hall's this way. The sale was clear out there on the other side of San Marcos, out by Kingsbury at our ranch. And Michelle, my secretary, was working for me. And I just prayed when I lost. I said, God, I'm going to get that back. I claimed it in Jesus' name. The very next day at that sale, she came to me, and she was just out walking before the sale started, out in the pasture. We have no idea how it got out there. Now, the 1,100 that I lost were loose. But praise God, she brought me a roll of $100 bills and a rubber band she found in the pasture. And they were $1,100. You say, well, man, that's some kind of a coincidence. I believe there is a God that can get it back to you, no matter how silly it seems, no matter how stupid it looks. And friend, I'm going to tell you, when you've lost something valuable and you get it back, you don't care how you get it back. Just the fact that you recover it. Amen? Let's look to the Word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6, if you would stand with me. And David was greatly distressed. You don't hear that word distressed as much as you do depressed. And so we're saying, and David was greatly depressed. How many people ever been depressed? Used to be. Not depressed anymore, but used to be. Man, this is an amazing church. Nobody in this church has ever been depressed. All right, let's go home. It's over. We've all attained every level that we should attain, praise God. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now that's the verse we really like to look at. But there's another verse right here in verse number 8, 1 Samuel 30 and 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I want you to say those last five words with me. And without fail recover all. I'm going to preach tonight, and somebody's going to get a hold of this. And by the time you get back Sunday, you're going to have to fill out a praise report and say, I recovered it this week. I understood it. I got it in my spirit, and I recovered it. Amen? Praise God. You may be seated. We should be somewhat familiar with this story. It's a story of David and his army. At this time, it was a relatively small army of 600 people, outnumbered tremendously by the Amalekites. And while David and his army was away, they had left their families at a place called Ziklag. And while they were away, the Amalekites came and they pillaged the city. They not only pillaged it, they took everything of value. Then they burned all the buildings. And then after that, they took all of the children and all of the wives as hostage. And here comes David and his 600-man army. And the Bible says that people, that the army was so distressed that they cried, and they cried greatly. But when they dried their tears, they got mad. And you know who they got mad at? They got mad at the pastor. And that wouldn't happen here at Living Way. You'd get mad if something happened here, you get mad at some preacher across town. Not me. It just never happens here. But it did there. They got mad at David. And these were his soldiers and his friends and his compadres. And the Bible said they got so violently mad that they talked about stoning him, literally picking up rocks and killing him. And the Bible said that David was greatly distressed. I would be too. You know, changing churches is one thing, but throwing rocks is something else. He was very distressed. There's nothing like loss to depress you. When you lose something that's very valuable, I see people talking all the time about losing things that they've invested. They left their life. They lost their life savings. I have a friend that doesn't come here to church. He's a Catholic man, but he was a commercial airline pilot. And back several years ago when we had the little downturn and recession, he lost 80% of all of his life savings he had in the stock market. I said, how much was that? He said, I lost about $1,200,000. He was still out there working for a living, and he was 70-some years of age. He'd had to go back to work. He lost it all. I'm had a report that the last time I talked to him, he'd got about 80% of it back. But he lost it all. There is nothing like loss to depress you and make you feel bad. But this was a multiplied attack of the devil against David and the army of Israel. He lost his family. He lost his home. He lost his wealth. He lost his friends. And he was threatened with the loss of life. This was a major, major loss. Now, most people would just quit. One thing about David went through some things, and much of them were through his own making and his own failure. But he went through some real tests. But the one thing you can say about David, he never quit. He never quit. He said he thought about quitting. How many people know that thinking about quitting and quitting are two totally different things? You remember Tommy Barnett standing right here, the world's greatest pastor, standing right here, and he said, somebody asked him, said, Tommy, did you ever think about quitting? He said, every day. He said, every day of my ministry I've thought about quitting. I just never did get around to it. Well, there's a lot of us like that, that things go wrong and the devil just throws it up in your mind. Oh, I'm going to quit. But praise God, we know we're not going to quit. God knows we're not going to quit. The devil knows we're not going to quit. And David did not quit. He did four things that brought him total recovery. I want to talk about those just for a moment. Number one, he encouraged himself in the Lord. If you experience a loss in your life, no matter what it is, I mean, it can be something small. It can be losing a job. It can have a reduction in your salary. It could be losing a wallet. It could be losing something more like a car or a home. It can even be losing one of your friends. Worst of all, it could be losing one of your loved ones to death. No matter what you lose, this is the first step that you've got to take to motivate yourself back to the road of recovery. And that is, you encourage yourself in the Lord. You've really, at some point in your time, you've got to realize, and this is a real revelation, and it is a revelation because of religion, because Catholicism and Pentecostalism and Baptistism and a lot of the isms that we've all been through are not as encouraging as they could be. Sometimes religion is very judgmental and very condemning, and it will kind of make you think that the Lord is on the other side. He's not on your side, he's on the other side. That somehow the Lord is being excited, or he is just really glad that bad things happen to you. But you've got to develop a relationship with the Lord where you know that you're the apple of his eye, that he holds you in the palm of his hand, that he is your father and you are his child. You've got to realize the Lord is really on your side. And so what you've got to do is you've got to begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. And you don't look at circumstance in order to do that. Sometimes circumstance can be very, very negative. But did you ever notice, I'm not preaching about this, but did you ever notice how much 24 hours can make a difference? Man, I've just seen things change. Just be just terrible one day, and the next day they're just tremendous. Some people that think they're bipolar, you're not bipolar. You're just like all of us. We're on the roller coaster of life. There's a lot of ups and downs. And what you've got to do is just realize, well, I'm on the downside right now, but praise God, tomorrow I'm going to be on the upside. I'm on that wheel. It's turning around. Every once in a while, it's just going to come by, and I'm going to see the face of the Lord. And so don't just automatically say, well, I'm bipolar, because you get a little depressed or a little discouraged. Bipolar is a very serious, serious condition. And just being discouraged is not being bipolar. Being discouraged it's a terrible disease. It's called being human. Because everybody is prone to be discouraged. But when you suffer a loss, you've got to encourage yourself. And the way you do that is you begin to think of the Lord and think of what the Lord did for you and how much the Lord loves you. No matter where you are, no matter what you've lost, remember He loved you enough that He died for you. That ought to pretty much prove that He's in love with you. Do you really think that He's going to casually discard you after He has spent a lifetime living for you and actually dying in your place, that He's just going to casually discredit, throw you away, annul your relationship? Oh, no, no, no. You've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You've got to begin to find those verses in the Bible where the Lord lifts you up. And He said, I've got a plan for you. And my plan is that you will not fail, but my plan is that you will succeed. You've also got to begin to understand that God has a real economy. And whatever you lose, God said, I'm going to bring it back to you. And if you get it just right, not only will I bring it back to you, I'll bring you the interest on it. I'll multiply. You've got to begin to encourage yourself. And David had 600 people against him. Have you ever had 600 people against you? You might have had, but probably not 600 outspoken people. The Bible said they spoke of stoning him. I mean, he just stood there and they went by one, said, I'm going to hit you in the head with the rock. I'm going to hit you in the head with the rock. 600 people. That would discourage you. But somehow in all of that negativity, David found the ability to encourage himself in the Lord. It's based on your relationship with the Lord. It's based on two things. It's what you think about God and what you believe that God thinks about you. I believe that God is good all the time. He's not Jekyll and Hyde. He's not good sometimes. He's good all the time. I can encourage myself if I realize that I'm serving a good God that loves me every day, 365 days a year, 105 years, or however many years I'm going to live, He loves me every minute of every day, and I begin to encourage myself. And I say, the Lord is also able. He's able to turn this around. That's a great comfort when you realize this is a bad situation, but God's able to turn it around. David stood there with 600 people that had been his friends hours before. They've turned on him overnight. His two wives are gone. That would be depression right there, having two wives. Oh, man, if I had two wives, one of them would have to compete with Sister Becky, and she'd be depressed all the time. I'm trying to fix this little deal I made right here. That's what I'm trying. But he had two wives that had been kidnapped. And he had his children that had been kidnapped. He was in the worst possible situation. But this thing he knew, that my God is able to turn it around. When you experience a loss, don't lose your faith. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your love. Don't lose your understanding. The devil can come in and temporarily steal something, but you have to give him permission to take your joy and your love and your dependence on the Lord. And in the midst of all of these people, David was able to encourage himself. Friend, you have to learn to be very dismissive of your critics. Let me say that slower. You have to learn to be very dismissive of your critics. Don't let your critics form your thoughts, your faith. 600 of them said, the reason why our wives are gone, the reason why our children are kidnapped, the reason why all of our wealth is gone is because you're a pitiful leader, David. You are pitiful, pitiful, pitiful. And David, in the midst of that, encouraged himself. Friend, if you have to have somebody else to encourage you, I can promise you there's going to be some time they're just not going to be there for you. Their cell phone's going to go down. They're going to go on vacation. They're going to be out of town. You've just got to be able to look in the Word of God. The Bible calls the Word of God a mirror. You've got to be able to look in the mirror of the Word of God, praise God, and just be able to say, I know that my God is going to reverse this situation. I know He's going to reverse the curse. I know He's going to turn this around. So the number one thing you've got to do is encourage yourself if you are going to be on the road to recovery. And in order to do that, many times you're going to have to dismiss many people out of your life. And maybe everybody out of your life. You've got to have enough faith in the Lord and the Lord's integrity with you that you can stand against every critic and say, I don't care what you say. The Lord has formed me in His image. The Lord has brought me this far. The Lord will not forsake me now. And just because the enemy's come in like a flood and stolen from me, I will recover. Because praise God, I don't see myself as a grasshopper. I see my enemy as a grasshopper. I see myself as a giant, because the Lord is with me. And if the Lord is with me, who can be against me? So the first thing is, you have to be encouraged by encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself. Not wait somebody, but encourage yourself. Number two, the Bible said that David inquired of the Lord. When you find yourself at loss, and something is not going your way, and something has been taken away, you need to inquire of the Lord. Because this is not normal. You don't want to just fall into that trap and say, well, this is just life. Friend, you are not just a human. The Bible said you are a partaker of His divine nature, which makes you a different species than the heathens you work with. You understand that? You might be the same color. You might be the same height, same weight, same age. But if they're unsaved and you're saved, you're a totally different species. Because now, a peculiar people, she said. That's exactly right. You're a peculiar people. But you are a partaker of His divine nature. And when you begin to understand that, you say, wait just a minute. This is normal for the world, but what is normal for the world is not normal for us. The world normally loses. The world normally goes through these things, and if you listen to them complain, you'll know that. But that's not normal. It's normal for us to come out on top. It's normal for us to be the head and not the tail. And so you've got to inquire of the Lord and say, Lord, why did this happen? Where did I miss it? Where did I let down? Lord, now how can I resolve this? And so David inquired of the Lord. He asked the Lord, what should I do? Should I pursue after them? And the Lord said, pursue after them, because you will overtake them. The Lord that I serve does not want you to accept loss lightly. When you get sideswiped by the devil, when you get attacked by the devil, when the devil takes something away from you, you ought to rise up in holy indignation and say, devil, you're a liar and a thief, and I'm not going to surrender that. Just because you have it momentarily, it didn't change ownership. It still belongs to me. And you know what I'm going to do? Devil, I'm coming after you. And that's exactly what God said to him. He said, you need to pursue. You need to ask the Lord what to do, and the Lord is going to tell you what to do, and what He tells you to do is going to bring you victory in your life. God didn't create you to lose. God didn't create you to create things and the devil come and steal them. You remember in the Bible where they would tend their crop for months, and then the enemy would come in from the hill and steal it, and God give them strength to pursue and stop them? Well, friend, the devil does not think that you have got enough strength. You're just going to lay down and roll over, but no, you're not. You're not going to let the devil steal your harvest. There's some of you on the biggest harvest, on the verge of the biggest harvest of your life, and the devil wants to come in and steal it. And God said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to stand up like men. Praise God. That means your praise is a little louder. That means your determination is a little stronger. That means your confession is a little longer. That means your boldness is a little stronger. That means you're just saying, praise God, I'm not surrendering one inch. I am going to take back what the devil stole from me, because I have got an edict from Almighty God as one of the keys to recovery that I am to pursue. And if I will pursue, I will overcome. And if I will overcome, I'll take back everything the devil has taken away from me. There's some of you who have got a fortune in so many different arenas of your life. You've got fortunes that you used to have, and they've eked away. I preached a sermon about undetected losses. Sometimes you need to just kind of think about what you've lost and say, hey, I think I'm going to go back and get that. That's mine. You know, the Bible said the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If you ever had it, God said you can have it again. They're without repentance. And so, praise God, you got to get up and say, I am not going to give this ground up. The Lord's brought me this far. I'm not giving an inch, praise God. All the victory I've ever had, I'm going to have right now. He prayed for direction. He inquired of the Lord. And the Lord gave him a word. And what he did, number three, he embraced the word of God. He embraced the promise of God. Friend, you've got to be able to look at your circumstance and then put an overlay of it of the word of God. Because the word of God is always the overlay. It's always the last thing. It's always the greater thing. So it doesn't matter what's happened to you. If it is imposed to the word of God is superior. And so you need to know what it is once you've inquired of the Lord and you found out that promise from the Word of God and God's given you that particular promise. You know, I was here the other day, way back in the back, and there's a couple been coming here 30, 40 years now. And I remember praying for them one time when they were just a young married couple. And now they're like me. They're about my age. And you know what I prayed for them? She couldn't conceive. And I prayed for her and him. They stood at that altar over there. And I prayed for them. And the next month, she conceived. And that boy they've got, he's a grown man now. He's 38 years old probably. And I just saw him. You know, we pass over those things so lightly, what God's done for us. But praise God. God gave her that promise, and she just latched on to it. And I prayed, and God brought it to pass. You need to think about what God's done for you in the past. God's worked miracles in your past. You need to do like the apostles. The Bible said they gathered together and rehearsed what God had done. God's done some great things in your life. And if God's ever done anything, He's not changed. He's still able. He'll do it again. You need to embrace the promise of the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is stronger than the Amalekites. It's what God said. Those Amalekites were down there celebrating. They thought it was all over. But it wasn't all over. It's not over till God's Word returns to you, because it won't return void. It'll go down in the camp of the enemy, get back what you've lost, bring it right back to you, slay the enemy. You'll never have that loss again. Praise God. You've got to embrace the promise of God. And they're exceeding. The Bible said exceeding. What does that mean? That means above all your need. Anything you'll ever need, the promises exceed that. They're exceeding precious promises of the Word of God. And so whatever the devil's done in your life that has been negative, there is a remedy for that. There is a cure for that. It's in the Word of God. It's a promise. That's the reason why it would pay us to be students of the Word of God. Not just come to church and hear a sermon, but we need to personally identify with the Word of God, because there's going to be times in your life when you're going to suffer a loss. If you knew the verse before the devil could ever get settled down with what he's stolen, your verse, your promise would go down, put a knot on his head, and bring it back. Not only bring it back, but praise God, bring it back multiplied. There are people in this building right now that are in the stage of recovery. You're going to rise to a position you've never had before. You're going to get everything back you've ever had, only you're going to get addition with it. It's going to have something besides what was lost and what was stolen. And you just need to encourage yourself. You just need to encourage yourself. You need to inquire of the Lord, and you need to embrace the promises of the Word of God, for they are yea and amen. And the devil has no power. He can't abort the promises of God. He can't kill the promises of God. He can't stop the promises of God. The promise of God said that I will prosper. The promise of God said I will be healed. The promise of God said I'll have joy. The promise of God said I'll be above and not beneath. The promise of God said, I'll have joy. The promise of God said, He'll give me seed to sow and I'll have a harvest. Can you give God some praise? Hallelujah. So inquire of the Lord. And if you know the Word of God, you know it's really very difficult for the Lord to direct you to His promises if you don't know the promises. But if you become a student of the Word of God, just a student of the Word of God. You know, and I hear guys teaching on television all the time, and what they're teaching about is probably true. I don't know what they're talking about. One more line, Rena, I don't care what they're talking about. It's something so minute about some historical point that I'll never think of again in my life. Friend, don't make the book laborious. Don't make the scripture a historical document that you just yawn your way through. Make it a promise book. It's written to you. It's written for you. Look in there and see what it says you can do. There's a way of escape for every trial in there. There's an overcoming for every obstacle in there. There's a healing for every sickness in there. There's a joy for every sadness in there. There's a power for every weakness in there. There's a solution for every problem in there. They're all in there. And when you become familiar with the Word of God, when the devil comes in and you suffer loss in your life, praise God, you say, oh, I know exactly what's happening here, and I know how to stop that, praise God, and I'm going to pursue. Say, how do you pursue? Oh, friend, when you pursue the devil with the Word of God, he is a born loser. He just has to turn loose and give it up. Praise God. And so take the promise of God and just don't turn loose of that promise. Say, I'm just going to hold on until it comes to pass. All over this congregation, there are people sitting here that have had monumental miracles in their life. And every one of those people were people that found the promise of the Word of God. And they stood on that promise, praise God. And they embraced that promise. And they said, I'm not going to turn loose. I just refuse to give over to the devil. I'm blessed, but praise God, I want everything I've ever lost back. And I'm going to spend the next few months getting stuff back. And not only am I going to get back, I'm going to get other stuff with it, praise God. It's going to multiply over and over and over again. Hallelujah. We're calling back people that are backslid. And when they come back, they're going to bring their sons and daughters that were never saved. They're going to bring their family and friends that were never saved, praise God. They're going to come back with them. I'm embracing the promises of the Word of God. They're exceeding above all I can think or ask. God's promises are true. He's able in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And number four, praise God. He communicated his faith. If you want to have a key to recovering the lost, you've not only got to have faith, but the Bible said acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. The Bible said that the communication of your faith be not in vain, that it be not feigned, but it be true. You communicate your faith. Now, you've got to get rid of some people in your life, but you've also got to find some people that you can communicate your faith to. When you begin to communicate to them, you can see it's in good ground. It's working in them. It's working in you. He had 600 guys that were ready to stone him, but he was able because he got so encouraged in the Lord. He just got so encouraged in the Lord. It just looked like it was unbelievable. It looked like it was unobtainable. But he got encouraged in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He embraced the promise of God. If you'll pursue them, you'll overtake them, and you'll recover everything. He embraced that. He got so excited by that. You know what he was able to do? He was able to take 600 Methodists and turn them into Holy Ghost-filled people, just like that. He took 600 people that were against him, and within a matter of hours and days, he convinced them that we are going to get it all back. We're going to get it all back. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you learn to communicate your faith, it not only will go out to them, it has a way of growing in you and becoming like an umbrella over you and overshadowing you in a big way. He talked 600 people, 200 of them got so weak they couldn't walk, they stayed behind, but 400 people went with him, 400 soldiers went with them. They went down there and found those Amalekites and killed every one of them. The Bible's a bloody book. Say, oh, I wish you wouldn't talk. It's just there, folks. It's a bloody book. He killed all of them, but guess what? He had two wives that night. He had all of his kids back. He had all of his gold, all of his silver. Not only that, he had all 600 friends back. And then somebody said, you know what, this is kind of a side note, but one of the guys said, those 200 that didn't go with us said, let's keep their wives and children and their stuff. He said, we're not going to do that. Even though they weren't able to go with us, we're going to give them everything that was theirs back to. Praise God. I'm going to tell you that God is getting ready to cause you to recover so much that you're going to be able to bless not your friends. You know, one of the great delights in life, and I've experienced it many, many, many times, is to get so blessed that what your enemy was trying to do against you previously, days, weeks, months, years before, it doesn't matter to you at all, and you're so blessed that you can go bless them. There is nothing that satisfies the human nature like getting so blessed that you can bless your enemies and just watch them squirm. And they think, well, you don't know. Oh, you've got to be able to bless people that used to talk against you, bring people to church that used to be your enemy, be able to bake a cake for somebody that really tried to get you fired. Why? Because the Lord has promoted you to a place now that they don't have any influence on your life whatsoever, but you can go back and bless them, and they just have to say, oh, the Lord has blessed you. I actually had a man that was that really worked against me, a preacher. Sometimes they do that. He walked through this building one day with me, and he's one of those guys that I knew. He didn't know that he worked against me, but I knew it. But he just kept saying, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. How could all this happen? He thought he could do me in. Friend, when the Lord's on your side, it doesn't matter how many Amalekites come and take from you. I'm going to tell you, if you will seek the Lord, if you'll encourage yourself, if you'll embrace the promises of the Lord, if you'll begin to communicate your faith. Oh, the communication of faith is one of the most miraculous things you can do. Just begin to speak your faith. Say, I believe this is going to happen. And people just look at you like you're nuts. But after a while, after it happens several times, they become believers. I believe the Lord's going to give me a promotion. I believe the Lord's going to give me a better job. I believe my kids are coming back home. I believe I'm going to get a new car. When I went to Bible school, the first day, I've told this story before, first day I was in Bible school, I never will forget it. I wasn't from a preacher's home, and there's just a whole culture there. So we sat in these apartments we had the very first day. And there was a guy there, and I won't call his name because his widow might be watching me right now. But he was a talented rascal. He really was. And we were 17. And his daddy had a big church up in Michigan. And because of that, he started preaching when he was about 14 or 15. And this guy could really preach. I mean, he could really preach. And so there was 8 of us in this room. I never will forget it. And so, he had authority because he had so much more experience I'd had. And I remember. And so he said to me, he said to everybody, he just went around the room and everybody identified themselves. And he asked them their background. And he was just self-appointed doing this. And he came to me and I told my name. And he said, is your daddy a preacher? I said, no. He said, you got any family? I said, no. He said, well, do you play any instruments? I said, no, I don't. I don't. He said, can you sing? I said, no, I can't. And I never will forget this. He said, can I give you some advice? I said, sure you can. He said, best thing you can do is go in there and pack your suitcase, go back home, and get you a job. Because he said, there's no place in the ministry in this day and time for untalented people. And every day after that, I could just feel, somehow he took an exception to me. I could just feel it. Now, I had a 1967 LTD. It's pretty nice for that day and time. That was in 69. And so, or no, it was in 70. And so I remember going to, at Christmas, we still rooming together and been rooming together for almost 3 years. I went in to a bunch of them and everybody's talking about this. What is it going to do for Christmas? I said, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to get a new car. That was my confession. And he just laughed. Just like. And I remember coming back from Christmas vacation, And I walked in, one of the guys said, "You get a new car?" I said, "Yeah, it's out in the parking lot." And again, there was eight of us that we roomed together. And all the other six guys, they ran out to see my new car. He wouldn't even come out and look up my new car. That's the way it was for a long time, 2 or 3 years. And he was an experienced preacher. I wasn't very experienced. The first night I was in St. Louis, I went to a church to visit a church. It was the biggest church in that state, Pentecost church in that state. And there I was, no experience much. And there he was. We were sitting side by side back there on the very back row of this big church. And I just met the pastor just a few weeks before. He walked back to me and he said, "Steve," he said, "the preacher we had didn't show up." He said, "You got 15 minutes to get ready. You're preaching tonight." And here was this kid beside me, was so experienced. It would have been nothing. Oh, it was tough for me. I remember exactly what I preached on. I preached on the fear of failure. So many people don't try things because they're afraid they're going to fail. But oh, from that meeting, it opened up. And every day, my little guy that said, "You know, we're going to send you home and you need to go home," every day, every Friday, he'd be in there. And I'd say, "Well, I got to go, guys. I'm preaching in Chillicothe tonight. Oh, I got to catch a plane. I'm going over to Ohio this weekend." And he'd just sit there weekend after weekend after weekend. And he called me one day about, I don't know, 6, 7 years ago. And he just wanted to talk. And he said, "I've watched your life." And he had a little bitty church. And he was dying of cancer. And he said, "Would you pray for me?" And I prayed for him, and we had a real good time of fellowship together. But it was just so unnecessary. Just so unnecessary. But the point is, I was able to help him at that point in his life. He didn't have any money, and everything was going. I was able to help him. And not that I wanted to put it in his face, but I was just glad. I was just glad when it seemed like I'd lost everything before I ever got started. Praise God. I just said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to encourage myself." There wasn't nobody else in that room going to encourage me. I had to encourage myself that day. I had to inquire of the Lord. I had to say, "Lord, is he right? Should I go home or should I stay?" And the Lord said, "You better stay. You better stay." Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. There's somebody in this building right now. Somebody's been discouraging you. Hey, can I tell you that your friend's a liar? That God's not against you? That the God that I serve is not cheering against you, that he's not taking things from you, that there's a devil that's done that, and now God is saying tonight on a Wednesday night, if you'll just encourage yourself, if you'll inquire of the Lord, if you'll embrace the word that I give you back, and you'll begin to communicate your faith, it won't be many days, praise God, until you will recover all that you have lost. And then some. Amen. Would you stand on your feet and give God some praise right now? Somebody specifically, this is a word for me tonight, as well as everybody else in this building. But there's somebody specifically that God is targeting tonight. That you've lost something very dear in your life and you think it's gone forever. God is saying to you tonight, he's given you a word, it's not gone forever. I'm bringing it back, and I'm bringing it back multiplied. I've just given you 4 little steps I want you to practice here the next few days. The next few days, I want you to do. I want you to get up every morning and encourage yourself in the Lord. I want you to inquire of the Lord every day. I want you to embrace his word every day. And then I want you to get on your telephone or go to work, and I want you to begin to communicate your faith. Praise God. This is what the Lord is going to do. Communicate what he's going to do for you, and then turn to somebody else and share with them and say, "Now this is what the Lord's going to do." Communicate your faith. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. There's somebody in this building that needs to just reach.